Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Certainly want to thank defensive coordinator Rob Orrich, for coming on and being a delightful guest.
Oh, he was great.
He was.
I would like to get him again and just keep popping him on there if they win games. He's fun and he's intense.
Just a reminder, all guests
makes
on
me want to hit somebody.
97
mostly you, Scraby.
Join us on the David P. Shapiro fan hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorney, helping good people regain control of their futures when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com.
I would love to do an Oklahoma drill with Chris. That would be fantastic.
I would want to see that. I'm sorry.
That would be so good.
You know, the funny thing is you're just saying that like you would dominate
me. Oh, I would.
He's talking yeah. right now, Chris.
I was an Oklahoma drill like savant.
A savant.
I haven't lost that much weight on SD fat loss. I can still be a little tough to move.
I'm way tougher to move.
The issue I would have is can you build up the speed that it's going to take to have an Oklahoma drill?
I'm a little slow, so we might need
Chris? Am I going to have to just, as he runs at me, go like one of these?
Like Olay?
You might have to.
And I would fall for it. You know, there's two things. One of the things I do every single time in pickup basketball is I always leave my feet when someone pump fakes me. So that's the secret.
You get put in the popcorn machine.
I don't know why I do it. I tell myself not to do it, and I still do it.
Yeah. It's still a move that works. I mean, guys fall for it to this day, not just you.
Cole says Chris is frail. I wouldn't say
frail.
Chris. No, Chris isn't frail.
Yeah, that.
He's not frail.
Before we get to Chris versus the fans, Scraby, before I say anything,
yeah,
you know what?
What's up?
You know, I'm just going to check myself, make sure that you don't have it in there. I don't know if you guys have been following this. Tyler Skaggs, Eric Kay, case happening.
Why are they dragging poor Mike Trout into this?
He testified today one of the witnesses.
I see. Okay.
And the outfielder testified Tuesday that a team employee alerted him to possible concerns about drug abuse by the Angels' former communications director, Eric Kay, before the 2019 accidental overdose of Tyler Skaggs. Trout said he confronted Kay directly, telling him,
"Wow,
you have two boys at home. You have to get this right.
Get it in order, yeah."
Trout's testimony brought the court case a step closer to establishing that Kay's behavior was raising enough red flags to warrant team intervention before he provided the drugs that killed Skaggs
at 27. Because this is the whole case. Is the Skaggs attorneys are saying the Angels should be liable for not having done something to the to Kay, the trainer or the guy who provided this stuff.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say Trout also testified he saw Skaggs drink alcohol but had not seen Skaggs use drugs other than marijuana. and that Skaggs showed no outward signs of using drugs. Trout said he was surprised to learn that multiple teammates had been using the illicit drugs. Multiple ex-Angels testified at Kay's 2022 criminal trial that Kay provided them with Oxycontin. Listen, that's not uncommon, right? Like, I told you, Scraby, you know, when...
With Oxycontin?
No. For teammates not to know the depth of it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because I was telling Scraby, just ironically, before the show, not even hadn't gone through this thing, when I was teammates with CeCe, you would never know that he was struggling with alcohol. But he clearly was. I mean, right. He later found out, but you wouldn't have known that. And I was his teammate. I was around him almost every day.
I believe what Trout said in that deposition or interview today sounds like the truth. And 100%. I'm going to say it why, because if that's what he said to the,
he was the communications guy.
Okay. If that's what he said to him, that to me is consistent with what I would expect an athlete to say to another person in the organization to try to keep it quiet,
right,
not but get my message across.
Right.
And that is, dude, do something about this.
Right.
And so that is consistent to things. Having been around enough teams and a hockey team for 10 years, that's the kind of way things are spoken. Because
right.
I was going to ask you, Tony, about this, not in your own personal thing. But if you saw somebody that was, you know, going down a wrong path, this isn't something you can necessarily publicize, though, outwardly.
No.
It has to stay in-house.
Right. I mean, it's all tied into like the trust level that happens, not just with the players, but with the people around the team. Right. And so you're not certainly trying to blow his spot up yet. You want him to try to fix the situation. Giving him an opportunity to kind of fix it before you may have to go blow his spot.
We're noticing it. So do something.
Well, the fact I'm sure, once Trout heard it from another employee, you start to think, well, man, if you're telling me this, how many more people are gonna know about this? Hey, man, you got to get your stuff together.
All right. Sad and scary.
The whole thing is.
Yeah, we do.
It's cut into our game show.
We're going to have to be quick because we got a guest at 4:20.
Let's go.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know Gen 4.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, so you'll be qualified for the chance to win a grand prize, a trip for two to see Jerry Seinfeld in Las Vegas, including two tickets to the show on April 17th at the Coliseum at Caesars Palace, a two-night stay at the Flamingo Hotel and Casino, and a $100 gas card.
Hold on.
We'll wait.
Were you eating crackers again?
No. Jerry Seinfeld returns to the Coliseum at Caesars Palace on April 17th and 18th. See Ticketmaster.com for tickets.
Hate now, those crackers.
I do too. Yeah. Trust me. It's been nice without having them in here forever.
Now you're choking, though.
Yeah, that was tough. The rules, you have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question, or you win if you're a first-time player. Let us know
that was pitiful.
Before you get into it, and you'll get that first question for free today. All right, let's get to our first contestione. That will be Kevin.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Good to talk to you again.
You too.
Here we go. First question. Where did Jared Goff play college football?
Notre Dame.
I can't find my... There it is.
Bad luck for you, Kevin. I was did one of his games on the sideline, and it was at Cal, and he was good. Really good.
Boom. Fortunately for Kevin, that's true.
Contestant number two, please.
Let's go to Greg.
Hello, Greg.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Greg. Gentlemen.
Here we go. First question.
All
Who won the ALCS MVP? I didn't quite hear that.
He was repeating the question.
I don't know.
I think you got it right. Yeah, before he kind of disappeared.
Just threw it on out there. Here we go.
All right.
Question, safe bet.
Question number two. Outside of Shohei Ohtani, there were two other pitchers to have one MVP since 2010. Name both.
Wow, that's tough stuff.
So that's American and National League, either one.
Correct. Yeah, it could be.
Wow, I'm drawing a big blank. I'm just going to let Chris do it. I'm drawing a blank.
That's okay. That's sometimes the best way, Greg.
Yeah, I'm drawing. I think I'm drawing one, but while you were hemming and hawing, I filled in my blanks. I don't know if they're correct. You're saying league MVP, right?
Yes. Yep.
So pitchers don't win too many. I think Verlander won, and I think Kershaw won.
Nah. Sorry, Greg.
I wasn't sure about the years on those. So
I think Verlander was first.
Okay.
Let's go to our next contestant, Travis.
Hello, Travis.
How we doing, gentlemen?
Doing well, my friend. Good. Here we go. First question. What player hit three home runs against the Brewers last Friday?
Give me the old Ohtani.
Yeah, that is correct. Question number two. It's a little bit more difficult. Who was the QB of the Ohio State National Champion football team last year?
Oh, boy.
I'm drawing a blank. I don't know.
Okay, stay there. Stay there. Putting the pressure on Mr. Elo.
Gives me a chance to at least point out that Julian Sain, our guy from Carlsbad, who's the Ohio State quarterback this year, is now getting some Heisman buzz.
Yes.
So that's pretty good for him.
Help you remember last year's
It does
quarter.
Not. So I'm going to have to take an on this one.
Oh, really?
Can't even come up with a guess.
I know. It's very nondescript.
He was so nondescript, yeah.
The answer is Will Howard.
Will Howard. Where is he? Is he in
he's
the
in
NFL
somebody,
somewhere?
Yeah, he's a backup somewhere.
Is he? Let's see. I haven't heard of him anywhere.
Or maybe
Will
a third
Howard.
String.
Steelers.
There you go.
Steelers. All right. Very good for you, though, Travis. You move on to the finale here.
Question number three. Who is the only NBA player who has averaged a triple-double four times in their career?
Oops, sorry. Hold on. I didn't have you up, Travis. My bad. Wow. Go ahead and answer.
Yeah, give me a little Westbrick.
Oh,
Westbrick.
I don't know if we should give it to him on that one.
I gave it to him.
Yeah, baby.
I like it when people
Travis
are excited.
Travis is a winner.
Stay
good
there,
for you, Travis. Always happy when somebody wins one like that. Now, he did it four times in his life? I thought he did it once.
I always thought this was like one of the most incredible stats
it is.
Ever.
Well, it was for a long time.
No one cares about it.
They're just hating on him now.
Oscar Robertson did it in like the 60s, and no one else ever did it. Magic was the one who came the closest, but never for a whole season.
If it was so easy to pat stat, why didn't everybody just go try to average a triple-double? If it's that easy.
Yeah. So he did it during a full season, and he's done it four times.
Four of them.
Wow. That's impressive. I do know that. Did Jokic make it last year?
He did it last year or the year before.
Yeah. And he was. It was called into question on some of the assists that he was getting in Denver. I'm just saying, I don't know, but they showed a few highlights of stuff that. Anyway. But yeah, no, Westbrook.
I think that's different.
It,
that, they're saying that's what Westbrook is setting out to do is go out and. It was like, if it's that easy, then why didn't anyone just go do it?
Jokic went 29, 12, and 10.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But I wonder, the only way to prove the Jokic assist thing would be to look at his assists at home and away.
Right.
I don't have that. So, all right, very good for you, Travis, though. Well done. We got an interview next, Anthony.
Yes.
So
we do indeed. Let's jump away. Let's get to break. When we come back, Jeremiah Oden joins us next. Some Aztec basketball on the way. Basketball on the way.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at how I met your mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
All right, I'll guess on the 97.3, the fan hotline. Will join us on the David B. Shapiro fan hotline. David B. Shapiro, criminal defense attorney, is helping good people regain control of their futures when they are charged with a crime. And he's been doing it since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., and Mr. Scraby, 421 on the clock. And we're going to talk a little Aztec basketball here shortly. Jeremiah Oden is scheduled and is here. I would certainly expect all of Brian Dutcher's kids to be right on time. And so it is. Jeremiah joins us on 97.3 The Fan. Hey, Jeremiah, welcome to the show, sir. Thank you for your time.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, I was going to ask you if you're missing Laramie yet, but I think that's probably an easy one. Life in Laramie, Wyoming. Did you make a good call coming to San Diego, you think?
I think so. The weather's definitely been treating me nice out here. It's been refreshing to have such a warm fall.
So, Jeremiah, you make the decision to transfer to San Diego State. For someone like yourself, you spent 3 years at Wyoming. You spent a year at DePaul. What was intriguing about, aside from the success that this program has had, what else was intriguing about the Aztecs and San Diego State and coming here?
I think that just my familiarity with it and just knowing exactly what it was about, just having played against it for so long and just knowing the ways that I could fit in, seeing players that were kind of similar to me over the years. I think that those things just kind of helped make my decision easy. You know, when a situation is familiar, it's always easier.
Jeremiah Oden, San Diego State basketball with us here. And I was at the game Friday night, the exhibition against UCLA. I know it didn't start the way you guys wanted, but I think by the end, at least Coach Dutcher seemed to indicate that he felt like you guys got a lot out of it. Take me through your experience of that matchup with UCLA Friday night.
Yeah, I think that it was a weird start. It was a little bit of a mix of maybe like first game jitters, but also just playing a game that early.
Right.
And playing like a high level team that early in the middle of October, you know, you don't see that very often. It was a great experience for us though. So I think that we had some silly turnovers at the beginning, you know, just like things that were just like little details that we watched film on and got better from. But I think that the most encouraging thing was that we stayed together when we were down. That was really encouraging. Nobody panicked. And I think that everyone knew deep down, and I knew deep down, that we weren't going to play like that the whole game. Like, we were just playing, like, so far below what we knew that we could. So we knew we were going to come back and make our run. And we did, got it to three twice. And I think that we just haven't had enough of those reps late game. It was our first game to be able to close it out. But I think that now that we have that under our belt, next time we're in that situation, I feel really good about it.
Jeremiah Odom joins us here, San Diego State forward. Played some big minutes in that exhibition game. And we had Coach Velasquez on a couple weeks ago, Jeremiah, and one of the things that he talked about was the depth. You guys, 9, 10, 11 deep. I mean, what is it like? Have you been on a team with this kind of depth? And what is the summer and the fall kind of been like as you guys are trying to get into regular season shape? With so much depth that you guys are going up against on a daily basis?
Yeah, I've been on some pretty deep teams before, but I think that the depth of this team is unique. It definitely is the deepest team that I've been on, and I think that it helps. In a lot of ways, you know, I feel like practice is harder than a lot of games will be. So I think that the way that we compete and get after each other every day, it gives us a real game look every single day. And it just, you know, it brings out the best in everybody. We're all competitors. So I think that, you know, if you come watch a practice, it's always super competitive. And it's just iron sharpening iron every day.
Aztecs basketball opens up on Tuesday, November the 4th. Long Beach State will be the first official game of the new season. Jeremiah Odom, one of the great newcomers coming to this ball club. Jeremiah, having played against Brian Dutcher and his teams for, you know, 3 years at Wyoming, what did you think of Coach Dutcher and his program when you were playing against it, and how much of that has come to be true now that you're a part of it? Or has there been anything that has surprised you now that you're actually playing with Coach Dutcher?
I think that tactically, you know, we knew that from the outside looking at it, we knew it was a defensive program. Knew how they get after it on the boards. And we knew that they were able to play with some confidence and some freedom offensively. And I think that those things have come to be true being on this side of it. I think, you know, from the outside looking in, you can't really tell how the coaches are, like the personality of the coaches. And being here, I think that that's been something that's been really refreshing for me, is just how encouraging the coaches are, how on your side they are, and just how much they pour into you every day. So I would say that that's something that you can't see from the outside that I've been really happy with.
Who's the toughest on the staff? I've sat behind the bench on a couple occasions, and I've seen, you know, I've seen the coaching staff, not really Dutch, kind of get after you guys. Who's the toughest of the group?
I think it just depends on the day and, like, the play. You know, they're all...
Depends where you they're mess up, like, huh?
They're all good coaches, so I think that, you know, they don't ever disrespect you, but they coach you hard when they need to. But yeah. I wouldn't really say that there's a specific coach that is the one that's you know, always on us. I think that they do a good job at, if we're slipping, you know, they'll all step up, or it might be one person this day to just hold us to the standard that they know is conducive to winning.
Jeremiah Odom, not only a big, strong power forward, and so I know you spend time on the court. I know you work out in the weight room, but let's not forget you spend time in the classroom. This is an academic All-Mountain West Conference guy. Three times you've made that honor award, and yeah, that's pretty impressive because I know how much time is devoted to practicing and playing Division I basketball, and being able to mix that with your studies. What kinds of things interest you in the academic world, Jeremiah?
Yeah, I've done a lot of studying in the psychology area. I did my undergrad in psychology, getting a master's in psychology right now, and I also have done some work in business as well, in entrepreneurship. So I would say that those two areas are very interesting to me.
Nice.
Well, that congrats on that, man. That's impressive. And, you know, I can't wait to watch you play for our side. Been rooting against you for a few years, I must say. I hate to tell you. But it's going to be nice having you on our side. Welcome to San Diego. Should be a lot of fun this season, Jeremiah. Best of luck to you and everybody down there.
Thanks,
at
Jeremiah.
The Mesa.
Thank you. I just thank you guys for having me. It's going to be a great year.
Of course. Wow. Absolutely. There he goes, Jeremiah Oden, 6'8", 210. And every bit of that, Tony. Yeah. I mean, I saw him the other night, and he's strong.
Broad shoulders.
You're going to have to box him out,
yeah.
Way out. And even that's not going to keep him off the glass. From Chicago, Illinois. And as you said, Tony, played at Wyoming 3 years. 1 year at DePaul. And then actually redshirted last year. So now he's back. And this is a great pickup by Dutch. I mean, I don't want to compare anybody to Jaden Ladee because that's not fair. But he's the physical build of Jaden Ladee. I can tell you that. So that's not going to be a bad thing for San Diego State. Before we go to break, let me remind everybody.
This is working. This is working.
I was hoping you didn't say anything. All guests on the 97.3 The Fan Hotline. Join us on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their futures when charged with a crime since 2010. David P. Shapiro Law.com.
Ha! I will say this. You have gotten better. Chris has missed three reads. Tony has missed only the one. You missed Spiro's. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine.
That was at the same time as that one.
Coronado or La Jolla for dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com.
We're supposed to read them back to back? That's not good planning.
No. Well, it's... Hey, this is the commercial people putting these in here. I don't determine where they go.
Commercial people.
Railing against that. Yeah.
Here comes the commercial people.
Janet is a very nice lady.
You didn't have to give her name. You said the commercial people.
Yeah. They put them in there. You guys are supposed to read. Hasn't worked that way for 7 years.
I feel like I'm, you know, back in the classroom now and Straby's carrying a ruler. Whack! More Gwen and Chris ahead.
This hour is brought to you by Staples. Your local Staples has hot deals and super low prices throughout the store on everything for your business. And right now at Staples, save up to $125 off your print order. I wanted to make sure I read that right. That is correct. $125 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends November 1st. Plus, save even more with the Easy Rewards program at Staples. Big Five coming your way. A little traffic first, though.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we got a lot to talk about, so I am going to waste no time and go right into it. But Mission Hills High School football coach Chris Hauser resigned following a month-long paid administrative leave amid a district investigation into alleged hazing. Hauser cited family and health concerns as to why he was stepping down. The investigation also involves assistants Thomas Altieri and Edward Knuckles. There's someone moving the mouse on my screen right now, guys. Even kidding. There's someone clicking around on my screen right now.
Why am I thinking it's me somehow? It's not. Be.
Oh, he moved it so I could read. I think they're fixing the computer. That freaked me out. Sorry, this is a serious story, but
Did you ask to have your computer fixed here, and it just so happened?
Yeah, I didn't know it was going to happen during the Big Five, though.
Got it. Okay.
The investigation also involved the assistant centers on reported physical hazing in the team's locker room. Authorities confirmed an inquiry, but withheld details due to the involvement of minors. His tenure, the coach, was previously marred by a 2007 incident in which a player, Scott Evland, suffered a life-altering brain injury after Hauser allegedly overruled medical advice during a game. The district later settled with Evland's family for nearly $4.9 million. All right, with all of that said, Tony, you're up first. If any coach, since we don't have all the information on Chris Hauser, I'm going to ask it generally. If any coach is found guilty of knowing or contributing to hazing, should they be allowed to coach again?
I would hate to see like forever, like no more job as a coach.
Okay, I don't think you could do that because people change and you get second chances. But let's say like a 5-year ban.
I think that's fair. I mean, hazing is a big deal. I remember the big incident when I was in high school way back in the day at Rancho Bernardo. So these things have lasting impact. I'd hate to say, no, you could never get another job like that ever. You would hope that an adult would learn from that kind of mistake. But there certainly has to be some type of significant punishment. I don't know if 5 is the number, but yeah, I'm with that.
All right, let me change the question for you, Chris. Since we ferreted out a better question. Yeah. How long should you be banned if you're found guilty of contributing or
contributing?
Knowing about...
You didn't say contributing.
Let's not.
No, I'm not saying that he's the one doing the hazing, but he's fostering an environment that allows it.
That's what the alleged thing is. Yes. Is this all proven?
No, but he has been let go.
He has been let go.
All right. Yeah. All right. Let me get my language right. He resigned.
Right.
All right. I personally don't want to see him back coaching anybody's kids for any time at that point. But I don't want to single anybody out here because I don't know anything about this situation until you just talked about it. But my thing is, there's other people who can coach football that haven't been involved in that stuff. So find one of them.
Yeah.
That's all.
All right.
I mean, that should be a no-brainer, no wiggle room.
Yeah.
Like hazing, I mean, I cannot believe we're even talking about it even as a possibility in 2025, but I know that I'm stupid to think it's not still out there.
Yeah, I didn't thankfully experience much any hazing when I was in sports. Like, I can't think of a time, but I've heard...
What is classified as hazing?
Doing things you don't want to do.
You're not comfortable doing, right? I would think.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I would think there could be different levels of it, right?
Yeah, I would think so, too.
Here's the thing that bothers me about this story a little bit, and again, I'm hesitant to talk about this because I don't know enough other than what you just told me, but it sounded like there was a situation with a young player that they had to settle for $4 million.
Yeah, that's his own
on
7.
Him apparently putting this kid into a game against...
07,
okay.
Yeah.
Like, why was he back after that? You're dealing with young people here. I mean, they're just... I want to win football games as much as anybody, but if my mind is going towards, this kid might have a concussion, but get him in the game, and then I get sued, and our school has to settle for $4 million?
Five. 4.9. Okay, like, I can't believe he kept his job after that.
Who's okaying him to stay? And I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm saying he made a mistake of that magnitude. I think you have to, around kids, you maybe should find something else to be doing.
Yeah,
sorry, I'm being really harsh.
No, I think it was a different time, too, in 2007, because I played football up until 2003, and even though those 4 years, like, I remember getting hit, going down, having a headache, I didn't say anything, because we just didn't know.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I didn't drink water at practice, we didn't know we were supposed to drink water.
I think that's what Scraby's saying, like, in 2007. We were playing by a different set of rules, maybe.
Yeah, that's a while ago.
I mean, there was it's almost 20 the years NFL ago. Was still allowing guys to die over the middle of the field. So, I mean, anyway.
Yeah, we're making out this coach out to be really horrible.
I was speaking generally.
I feel generally badly about that because I don't know enough about
it. We tried to keep
it
general, right.
Yeah, we're trying to keep this general.
Number four.
Before we get into that, the Big Five is brought to you by your local Kia dealers. Kia.com to discover movement that inspires. You ain't getting me. Colts owner Carly Ursay Gordon's active sideline presence and real-time involvement in games could inspire other NFL owners. She wears a headset. She's attentive. She has a direct engagement offer. Offer a model for owners seeking to improve their team's football operations through better information. She said she needs to do this, quote, "I need to be able to say, is this person full of BS? Do they even know what they're talking about? It is such a complex organism, a football team and how it operates. You could say, oh, that person ran that route wrong. Then you learn, oh, someone tagged the wide receiver wrong, and it wasn't really the player's fault. It was the person that called it. I would suggest it for anyone else that has to pay coaches and GMs millions and millions and millions of dollars. Helps you make a less expensive mistake, potentially," end quote. Now, this is picking up team 6-1. She's been doing this all year. Chris, is this micromanaging or is this helping the team?
I don't know that it's helping the team. I'll be honest with you, because I believe she did this before, before she became the main owner, before Ursay passed.
Yes.
If you read through this, she did this.
Oh, yeah, she's been doing it for this. Yeah. It's not new.
And the Colts have always sucked. Now he died,
<Good point. laughs>
and she's running it, and now she's doing it, and they're giving her credit for the fact they're 6-1. But at that time, I don't see any reason why she shouldn't want to do this. Well, absolutely. Make your people accountable. And if she feels like, you know, she wants to have a little feel for what's happening, she owns a team. I got no problem with that. But if you're going to ask me whether she's coach of the year material, you know, I'm probably not going to give it to her yet.
Tony, is this micromanaging or a good thing?
It is micromanaging. It could be a good thing.
Yeah, there might be some coaches who aren't thrilled with it.
I'm sure there's some coaches who aren't thrilled with it. They've never experienced it. In my experience with coaches
I think I know where you're going.
And coaches that don't necessarily or aren't used to this, they usually don't like these new things happening. So I would imagine it's kind of the same. But Chris hit it on the head. She owns the team. So you got to deal with it.
Yeah, go work for another team.
Sorry.
She's not like in the coach's face, like telling them to call plays. She stands to the side a little bit.
As I read through this story, I actually like the idea of, it's not as though she's like in on the play call, like, nah, don't run that.
Yeah.
She's just listening. And maybe this does inform her a little bit more. Has any other owner done this?
I can't think of anyone.
So you know what? As long as she's not like interrupting the play call and going with another play call or something like that, I don't see a problem with
There's something awesome about her being able to, on the sideline, listening to play calls. What happened on that fourth down play? Well, we called XZ Spider 2Y Banana, and she goes, no, you called ZY Spider, and then that person's trying to get it over on him. I like that.
That part, that's where it might get a little dicey.
She's like, you called ZY. I heard it.
You sure I called ZY?
I wrote it down, and I am the owner.
That's what I'm saying. It could get a little dicey.
It would wear me out if I was the owner and I was doing that, honestly. I'd be like,
it is a lot of work.
I'm doing that.
I mean, game days are probably so exhausting.
Number three.
Jack Nicklaus won a $50 million defamation lawsuit against his own company that he no longer owns. He alleged that his former company, Nicklaus Company, spread false claims that he suffered from dementia and was mentally incapable of handling his business affairs. His attorney quoted the defendants as saying, quote, "You need to have the keys taken away," in reference to Nicklaus's mental state. A Palm Beach County, Florida jury reached the verdict after finding that Nicklaus's reputation was damaged and the 85-year-old was exposed to, quote, "ridicule, hatred, mistrust, distrust, or contempt over the allegations." The allegations are he was discussing with Liv for a $750 million deal, which was not true, and so people took that and ran with it. Tony, you're up first. Do you think this was more about the money for Jack or Jack's name being cleared?
I think Jack's got a lot of money.
He's fine.
And I don't. So I'm gonna go on a limb and say this had, considering how old Jack is,
85.
I would bet that he was more irritated that his legacy with PGA was about
tarnished
to be tarnished.
His legacy, yeah.
This is a diabolical story. I mean, like, who? I forget the gentleman's name that's running the Nicklaus companies now. But
I didn't even look.
They basically, in order to get, when he declined to take the Liv call, like he didn't even want to. Once he found out why Liv wanted to meet with him, he basically shut it all down.
Yeah, he did.
And when he did that, the gentleman who runs the Nicklaus companies basically tried to get the keys taken away from him. They tried to say he was not fit to run his own businesses. And, you know, listen, I have a mother-in-law that is older, and she's fine, but
don't
can
mess with your mother-in-law. Your mother-in-law. I thought you were going to say
not
your
my
mother.
Mom.
No, don't mess with her either. I still get nervous, and I don't even talk to her anymore.
But these, you know, I can only imagine at that age, when you already probably are feeling like things are getting away from you, to for someone to be trying to tell you that's not even really related to you.
Yeah.
That you can't, you're not capable of handling your business.
If I heard anyone tell my grandpa, who did suffer from dementia at the end, if I
heard try to take advantage
anyone of, yeah. telling him that he needs his keys taken away and it wasn't a family member, we're having some words.
We're having more than words at this point.
Real quick, because I know we're up against it. First, Jack Nicklaus is colorblind, so that's funny to me. That his wife always had to pick out his clothing when he played on the tour. Secondly, I'm not a big fan of these suits where a bunch of money is rewarded, but this one I am a fan of. Let it serve as a warning to people that are going to try to take advantage of somebody, even of the ilk of Jack Nicklaus.
Right.
We had, I know we're running out of time, but this is a relevant story. When my grandpa was living by himself after my grandma died, there was someone who was living there, and her daughter started becoming real close to my grandpa, and her daughter ended up taking my grandpa's Rolex to the watch store to get it fixed and put it under her name. So when my aunt went to go pick it up, she couldn't pick it up because it was under this other woman's name. Just be aware of what's happening around your grandparents or your parents.
Unfortunately, there's still a ton of really crappy people.
Really bad.
A lot of them people.
Number two.
Tony goes, a lot of them.
You got 2 minutes, Greg.
I saw this debate online and I thought it was fun. Out of these 4-star running backs based on skill level only, who would you say is number one in the NFL, Chris? Jahmyr Gibbs, CMC, Bijan Robinson, or Saquon Barkley? Talent, skill, nothing having to do with injuries or anything like that. Who's the most talented running back in the NFL?
Well, I'm going to call everybody. First of all, he ran a 90-yarder. That was good. But anybody could honestly do that because you just hand off. There's a hole that big. You run 90 yards. I call everybody's attention to Gibbs' second touchdown last night where he did a 360 spin.
He did.
And the guy reached for him and came up with air. And he was in the end zone. So I'm going to give it to Gibbs at the moment. But it could be a flavor of the month thing because these guys are all good.
I do not disagree. Tony?
I love that the running backs are coming back in the style.
You're right, yeah.
Bijan is the guy.
He's got some moves, too.
I watched this dude, I mean, basically break 4 ankles in a matter of about 6 yards. Got a couple behind the line of scrimmage, worked his way. It was like a 15-yard run. He left about 8 ankles collapsed on the way on to the 15 yards.
Unless you can make a move like you see these guys make, you got room to improve as a running back.
You guys
back.
Remember LT's?
They're incredible.
You guys remember LT's jump cut?
Jump cut.
Oh yeah.
Bijan
these guys
does
are
that.
Doing 360
oh,
jump cuts now.
Yeah. My knees hurt watching him cut.
They're all good. And CMC is still a gamer, yeah. man. I don't get it.
CMC feels like the old dog
there.
In there, but he is still he's still the dude.
He's on pace for like 130 something catches this year.
And Saquon still did the backwards jump. So give them all four a credit.
By the way,
I'll tell you another guy who's not bad is Achan. I know his team's terrible, but that guy can play too. A lot of these guys can run.
Eagles are sloughing. I just want everybody. They're not using Saquon, and I promise you. Come when it's cold, at its coldest.
Okay.
Saquon will get a lot of heat.
Team, please. Number one. Coaches in the NFL hot seat meter getting hotter. If you take out Mike McDaniel, because we think he's probably going to go first, you have Brian Daboll, Browns Kevin Stefanski, Cardinals Jonathan Gannon, and Aaron Glenn of the Jets. Outside of McDaniel, Tony, who is likely to be fired first?
Daboll.
you upset by that?
Well, I don't think you can do Glenn. It's a first year. Right. That's not right. Who were the other ones? Sorry.
Gannon and Stefanski.
Stefanski.
What has Stefanski done to continue?
No one knows.
It could be him,
no
too.
No one knows.
Okay. It could be him.
I'll go with him, then.
Okay. All right. That's it for the Big Five. When we get back, we're going to recap all of the top stories of the day. And then a little bit later, there have been some NFL injuries from last night that we have not talked about. So lots more to go here on Gwynn and Chris 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.